have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Glory to God. I believe. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I believe. What about you? Well, it's once more and again we're here. With the Lord and our magnificent producer, Kimmy Kim. Welcome to For His Glory. I'm Apostle Brian Blackingame. And it'll be my joy, my delight to bring forth the word of God tonight. We pray that it will be a blessing to you we pray that it will also be something that will cause you to be aware. Yeah, cause you to be aware of things. The Bible tells us that our adversary, who is Satan, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I had a thing, or I had a service that I went to this past Sunday, and I saw some things. I witnessed some things. And church, y'all, is supposed to be a safe place. But how many know that there's sometimes you can be in church and God will begin to show you things, and you realize that sometimes there's trickery that comes from behind the pulpit. And that's exactly, Lord have mercy, that's exactly what I saw. It's a shame when you have to use someone on your flyer on Facebook and tell everyone that this particular person is going to be there and speak on a particular day. And then when that day comes, you find out that that person did not speak or wasn't going to speak on that day. He spoke the night before. And so the person then came up and made an excuse to make it seem like order was changed by the Spirit of God. Yes, I'm revealing some stuff tonight. He got up and said, well, you know, I don't want to go to a church that has programs, because when there's a program, that means that it's their church and not God's church. And I understand programs, and I understand that sometimes some churches don't have programs because they really don't know what's going to happen when the Spirit of God moves. But however, you had a flyer that said you were going to have someone speak a particular day. And basically, bottom line, you just knew that people was going to come to see this particular person on Sunday so that you would have a better crowd on Sunday evening, because most of the time you don't have a good crowd on Sunday evening. So therefore, you switched Saturday, and then you had a better crowd for you to preach to. Oh, see, I've seen a lot of stuff that Sunday that you normally wouldn't have had if you hadn't announced this guy to show up that Sunday. Now, you did all this thing talking about you don't believe in programs and everything, but then you messed around and turned around and told on yourself and began to boast on how you like to play with people's emotions. So that right there just revealed everything. And I'm just saying to you guys out there that even though you're in a house of God, be prayerful. People are pulling all kind of tricks. And the thing about it is that if it's coming from the leader of the house, then you have to be even that much more careful, because it will infiltrate and it will go through the rest of the body. And then, you know, we sometimes wonder why there's bickering and going on in the house of God. But it's simply that, you know, sometimes people get go across the line and do stuff they ain't got no business doing, and then next thing you know, God will send somebody to send forth correction. That's what he does. He sends some people out for correction, and then it didn't stop there. Then he wanted to start to discredit the office or a call that's on someone else's life to try to make them seem as though they weren't who God called them to be in front of. And they did that openly. And basically what they was trying to say was that you can't call yourself an apostle if you don't have followers, per se. But the followers that he was looking for was in the flesh. Because, myself, not bragging or boasting, I've been to different houses where people, or different churches where people or leaders will look at me, and I didn't have to tell them who I was in the spirit. They told me who I was in the spirit. So you have to be careful how not to try to discredit the men and women of God because they very well may be who God said that they are, you know. And then sometimes the word does tell us we do entertain angels unaware. So you have to really be careful where you put your mouth in certain cases, in a lot of cases. So God dealt with me about that thing very heavily that same night. A lot of it actually kind of like went over my head when I first saw it. I saw it but didn't see it. But that night, I really didn't get that much sleep later on that night because of what had taken place. But to God be the glory anyway. There's just certain things that you know, you see small things and you see there's things, and those things are not really that small because really you're looking at deception, you're looking at manipulation, and you're misleading the people, and then you're going to brag about it by saying you like to play with people's emotions. Come on, man. And you I know some people that would come off on you and say, and you call yourself a prophet by doing so. So I mean, let's our God, let us remember the scripture say, if I lift Jesus up, I'll draw all men unto me. All men unto me. And you can't say that money may not have been involved. See, I'm Lord have mercy. Because had you not did the switcheroo that you did, you wouldn't have got the offering that you got Sunday. because people came to see them. They didn't really come to see, let me leave that alone. Woo, anyway. Somebody have to tell the truth. And I guess I've just been one of them that's been chosen. I've been around that stuff too much. I've seen too much of it. I've seen damage. I've seen people hurt over, people misleading, misguiding people like that. And the Bible does say that there are watchmen. And if you can see, God has placed you on the wall, and you have to sound the alarm. You have to sound the alarm. But that's basically what we're going to talk about a little bit because of the time that we live in. I'll call it some trickery from the pulpit. Trickery from the pulpit. Because we're living in last days, and we're seeing all kind of crazy stuff out of desperation. Before we go any further, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, for your son. We thank you for this awesome woman of God, Kim and Kim, who you use us awesomely, Lord God, in more areas than one. We thank you, Lord God, for Elation Radio, Sprinkle, the rest of them, the other entities that we're broadcasting on, and we thank you for those who are listening. But Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless your word. Your word is already blessed. It comes from you. It comes from your mouth. But Father God, give us an open heart to receive that which the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And Father God, may it rest heavily upon our hearts. May it bring forth fruit that you be glorified in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm looking at 1 Timothy 4, starting at the first verse. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Y'all, let us not drift away. Let us not depart from the faith. I also say, I'm not taking away from faith, but let us not depart from the truth. It's your truth. It's the truth that Jesus is Lord. It's the truth that he's God's only begotten Son. It's the truth that he died for our sins. It's the truth that he rose up on the third day with all power with, you know, in his hand. And we live that. We believe that. That's our faith. So let us not depart from the faith and the rest of the gospel that God has instilled within us. But there are some, and there have been some, who have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'm going to say this because I saw something else. Some people are getting caught up in traditions and doctrines of devils, but the doctrines are not coming from people who look like devils. The thing about it is that deception does take place, but the devil, he uses people just like God uses people, but he uses people. He not just go come up there with somebody with a pitchfork and a pointed tail and red suit to go, you know, lead you a certain way, because, I mean, most people might go for that. There are some. I'm seeing some strange stuff out there. There are some that can look at certain things and let it look like a devil and know it's a devil, and they'll still jump on it because it's a devil. But most of the time, he is a deceiver. He is a deception. He is, as Jesus said, a liar and the father of all lies. So he says, do not give heed. Don't, if you know it's a lie, don't accept the lie. That's what he's saying. If there's anything outside of the gospel, don't accept it. Don't receive it. Don't give place. That's another scripture, to the devil or the doctrines of devils. Sometimes these doctrines sound real. Sometimes these doctrines make it sound like they, you know, make good sense. But bottom line, they're doctrines of devils. And it says speaking lies in hypocrisy. I have never seen such a time as I have, I'm going to say, in the last 4 years, that I have seen people see a lie, hear a lie, know it's a lie, and still receive the lie. Now, I ain't going to go too deep in that, but because some of them still believe in the lie, even though things are beginning to unfold right there before their very eyes. There were things that took place that could have been popped, as Bonnie Five said, nipped in the bud, 2017 or something like that, and they just closed their eye to it because they just said it wasn't true. And a lot of times, I mean, people get caught up in some stuff they ain't got nothing to do, and they go, what they go to do? First thing they go to say is, that's not true. That's a lie. But when things keep unfolding and you keep seeing the lie for what the lie is, it's a lie. Especially when you have that one same common denominator where the lie is always coming from. Let me get off of that a little bit, just a little bit. But no, it's important that you don't believe lies or accept lies, especially when you know it's a lie, because on through that scripture it says having their conscience seared with a hot iron, meaning that you can tell a lie for so long. Do you believe that lie to be the truth, even though it's a lie? It's a dangerous thing to keep receiving a lie, knowing it's a lie. After a while, begin to believe the lie. And the Bible says, believing the lie can cause your conscience to be seared, meaning you can come to a place to where you won't be able to know the truth. Meaning you'll call good evil and evil good. So let us not caught up in lies, believe in lies. You know, it's a lie. Hey, call that lie. That's a lie. It is a lie. It is what it is. It's a lie. I don't have to receive that lie. I don't have to. Some people used to say, don't use my spirit as a trash can, because it's a lie. Third verse is forbidding to marry. Oh, here we go. Forbidding to marry. I hear this a lot. And I used to hear it a lot more so probably about like in the, yeah, I want to say somewhere along the 90s, somewhere along there. I used to hear it quite a bit, but and probably hearing it even more so now. And the reason why even more so now we're hearing forbidding to marry is because a lot of us, notice I said us, a lot of us have been hurt. A lot of us have been tore up. A lot of us have been highly disappointed. A lot of us have been bamboozled in relationships, not just one, but in relationships. And some have maybe have even been married before and been bamboozled, been hurt, been disappointed, been lied to, the whole nine yards. So some of us just came to the point, well, look, I'm not doing that no more. No more. No more. And the fact behind that is that we a lot of times have not taken account of is that most of the times when we got into those relationships or in those marriages, we did not seek God before we did it. Some of us say, well, yes, I did. I asked the Lord to bless it. What I mean by seeking God is when you ask God, you seek God. Is this the mate? Is this the one that you have anointed for me? And most of the times, even in cases like that, we'll ask, but we won't wait for an answer. We won't let God speak, and if we don't let God speak, we won't even allow Him to show us a sign or give us a sign. And then some of us, like in my case, I knew about God but didn't know God, so I didn't know the signs that He was giving me. So we have those issues that be at hand. Then we also have the church, certain parts of the church, certain sectors of the church that have us believing that you can't remarry. Ooh, this get deep. 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 And I probably should have wrote that down. But in 1 Corinthians 7, it gives you an outline. It talks about how a woman can sanctify the man and vice versa. But it also talks about how if there's a man or woman who is saved, and if the unbeliever depart from the saved one, then God no longer holds us under bondage. We are free. He don't hold us accountable because they left us. They didn't leave. We didn't leave them. They left us. And I can guarantee you in situations like that, because I'm speaking from experience now, when they left you, they didn't leave you. They left God as well. Why are you talking like that, Brian? Because it's true. Remember this. You gave yourself to God, and the minute you gave yourself to God, everything that was attached to you was God's as well. if they decide they want to reject you because you have answered the call of God, they did not reject you. They reject the God that's in you. Scripture. Go back to Samuel. Yeah, I believe it is Samuel. And that's during the time that Samuel was still grieving over Saul. Now, that's during the time that the people asked Samuel for a king. That's it. And Samuel began to weep because the people of Israel wanted to be like the rest of the nations, or the other nations. And they wanted a king. They didn't want They didn't want Samuel no more to be their judge. They didn't want the Spirit of God leading them. They wanted flesh. See, the thing about the Spirit of God is, and the thing about Samuel is that, see, if they come before Samuel, he's got their spiritual discernment. He know when they lie. He know with this, that, and the hurt. The third, he hearing from God. So there's no okey-dokes they can pull on. A pull over on Samuel. But if we get just a normal king, we can do what we want to do. We can third. We can have parties. We can pull out our idols. We can do all that. We can party. We can do all that if only we had a king and not a judge. How many times we keep hearing people say, "No, only God can judge me. Only God can judge me." Well, you know, we as Christians can't execute judgment unto righteousness and yet be judged by no man. I believe it's somewhere in Corinthians. He give us the ability to be able to judge right from wrong, wrong from right, by and through the Spirit and Word of God. Stand there a little bit too long, but it says that they forbid to marry. Now, let me clean this up a little bit, because there are some of us, and some people who are in ministry who may have suffered a hurt, who may have suffered a disappointment, and in that fell in love with God. Yes, it happened. To the point to where they say, I just live my life single, and I just live my life for God and God alone. And you know, even Paul spoke a part of that. He said he wished that, you know, all could be like him and not marry. He said, but it's better to marry than to burn. Now, the reason he said that is because there's some people who are forbid to marry, but still want to carry on their wifely duties and their husband duties with any and everybody. Now I've got to the root of it all right there. So that's why he's saying in the last days we're gonna start find people and see people who gonna be forbidden to marry. They're not gonna want to marry, but they're gonna want to be. That thing just popped up. Yeah. They're going to want to have friends with benefits. Yeah, y'all know what we're talking about. Now, they want to have friends with benefits. Yeah. Yeah, that's it right there. Friends with benefits is sin, y'all. Friends, I just let y'all know, that's sin. That falls in the same category of fornication. Okay. That's, fornication means sex with before marriage or no marriage. We're living in that time where that's very popular now. And people don't condemn it as much as they used to. Woo! And it says, and commanded to abstain, I read it again. And some were commanding and be commanded to abstain from meats. I can point out one religion, that's their belief. You might be able to eat meat, but you may not be able to eat certain meat, like swine. And then we also keep looking at this thing with people becoming more and more vegan. But when we start looking into the scripture, it talks about, you know, commanded to abstain from meats which God have created to be received. There's meats that God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. The minute the veil was rent, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent. They pierced him in the side. There was water that came out of the side. He purified everything. So everything that was under the law that we weren't supposed to eat, we could eat. That's why Peter, in the vision, kept telling God, I have not put any unclean thing to my lips. And God said, don't call that common which I have cleansed. He's already cleansed. So for us to say, you know, there's certain meats that we can't, God has given all that to us to be good for us if we receive it with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. This is the most reasonable reason why we need to bless our food, pray over our food. And especially now, I told this story yesterday. I used to drive this van for the senior citizens in my community. I used to take them bowling and movies and all kinds of different stuff. And this was like in the, I want to say, 90s. But there was a lady that got on my bus. She must have been in her 80s then. And she told me, she said, you know what's strange? She said, I grew up with my parents and on our house, and in our house, where our house was, we had our own chickens, we had our own eggs, we had our own vegetables, we had our own hogs. We'd go out there and slaughter the hogs. We'd have bacon in the morning, we'd have eggs in the morning. We had all this stuff. We'd have, you know, ham in the afternoon, and we'd have the chitlins, the whole nine yards of the hog. And she said all the years that she remember getting their food. Oh yeah, and making their own butter, the churn with the butter. Yeah, they had their own cows and stuff too. She said, out of all those years that they were doing that on their own land, she said nobody had high blood pressure, nobody had sugar, nobody had sugar diabetes, nobody had high blood pressure, nobody had hardness of the arteries, and nobody had heart attacks, and nobody had none of that stuff, she said, involved with the food. So I say that to say this. We don't know what all is going on with the food, y'all. I mean, hadn't some of y'all gone and got a breast, a chicken breast, and the chicken breast was just as big as a dog, a small pup, or something like that? They're mass producing the food now. They're putting chemicals in stuff to make stuff grow faster, bigger, all that. Let me get out of it. We need to pray. We definitely need to pray over what it is we're putting in our bodies. In the fifth verse, it says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer and the brethren in remembrance of these things. These are some things that we need to remember. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. I want to look also at 2 Timothy. Glory. 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to start 4 and 3 because this is part of the problem. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. What normally takes place in situations like that I have seen is that some people may come to a particular place, come to a particular church or whatever, hear the truth, begin to grow in the truth, but then somewhere along the road get rebuked because there's something they want to do and they're not supposed to do it, and they get rebuked, and because they got rebuked, they feel a certain way and they leave the church. And by doing so, they start looking for different churches or different ministers or whatever who may be a little bit more permissive. Yes, that's it. Permissive so that they can still feel like they can do what they want to do, but still feel like they're part of the body of Christ. Basically, they don't want to feel conviction. So there are some who will not be able to, it says, endure sound doctrine. I wish I had another version. I normally have two versions right there together of the scriptures. But I'm going to say there are some that will not endure sound doctrine. There are some that will not endure truth. And it says in the fourth verse, and they should turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. He tells Timothy, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Because as long as you're teaching truth, as long as you're preaching truth, there going to be some afflictions. Some are going to come against you. Some will rise up against you. A lot of times when this happens, this is how you know you're on the right path. Endure afflictions. Do the work of a ministry, of an evangelist. In other words, continue to try to win souls. Continue to try to win the lost. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. And that's how you make full proof of thy ministry, for doing such things. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Those are the words of Paul to Timothy. He's actually talking to Charles, to Timothy. I started at the third, but I want to go also back up to the first, because not only was he just talking to Timothy, he said in the first four verse, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. This is a charge that he gives to Timothy. Not only does this charge come to Timothy, but it comes to all of us who are believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We preach the word, and when we preach the word, we must be instant in season and out of season. It's nonstop, y'all. Nonstop. Because the minute we stop, there's going to be something else that pops up. Because even though we're not stopping, it's still something popping up, trying to rob people of their faith, trying to rob you of your faith, trying to blind us, trying to cause us to walk in darkness instead of the light. He said, reprove and rebuke exhort, build up, encourage with long suffering and with the doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. When we see this, and when I see this, that first two verses lets me know that that time is at hand. First two, three verses let me know the time is at hand. We have to preach the truth. We have to be instant, in season, out of season. For Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. When we just look around and see what we see, we realize that the time is at hand. We understand that the time is at hand. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I saw something where Louis Farrakhan mentioned how our artists now degrade our women in their songs, call them female dogs, call them garden tools, and then they get an award at the awards show, and the first thing they say is, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I knew he was taking a shot at the believers. He also said that, you know, the other race will give awards or rewards, awards for them to do such. But it sounded another alarm off in my mind and in my spirit when he said what he said about them defaming, discrediting, and taking away the value of our women, and then thanking our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for doing so. It let me know that there's a lot of people, it's like the word says, they'll come in that day and say, God, did not I do this? Did I not do that in thy name? And God will say, you work of iniquity. Depart from me. I never knew you. And that's because so many people have been taught about Jesus but never experienced Jesus for themselves. They never made a commitment to know him. They never had a relationship with him. They just... So there is a way unto man that seems right. End of that way is death thereof. It's up to us, y'all, to reach those that are lost, to reach those who think they have salvation but don't have salvation. And at the same time, we too have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to bring it to a close, but if you've been under the sound of my voice, and this word has touched you in one way, shape, form, or fashion, you don't really know if you have a relationship with the Father through the Son, but you want a relationship with the Father through the Son. Just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. And because I believe this, I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And you said if I did so, I shall be saved. I shall be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe this. I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. I ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan. He has no more place in my life. And I thank you, Father, for saving me and washing me in the precious blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you want someone to pray with, you can reach me at Brian Blasting Game on Facebook, Brian Blasting Game on Instagram, Brian Blasting Game on Snapchat. We'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you, find you a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church so that you'll be able to grow in the things of God. And we decree and we pray that God be with you. At this point, I'd like to say to you again, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order, but most of all, do it for his glory. We love you. We bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Kimmy Kim, will you please take us out? God bless you. Amen.
I'm trying to get ready. I'm trying to get ready. And to get ready. Sometimes I wonder how long can the world continue to stand with brother killing brother, no love in this land. But the natural truth is about it.